It's the B-Man broadcasting live from Jimmigan's Pub. Happy St. Patrick's Day from WWTF. This year, the 2014 St. Patrick's Day Festival is brought to you live by Taint Co. Incorporated. And the people that brought you Sphincton X. That's right, Sphincton X smells like a fart, feels like heaven. Thanks to Taint Co. for supplying the beer and the pizza. We also got free samples of the Sphincton X out here for you to take home and enjoy. Taint Co. has also been kind enough to provide what looks like dancing girls from a disadvantaged socioeconomic section of the city. They'll be here trying to act as sexy as possible. So come on down to Jimmigan's Pub. I'm the B-Man. I'll be down here spinning some classic rock. The same classic rock that you've probably been listening to since the late 60s, early 70s. Because you lack imagination and you don't like to try new things. But that's why we're here at WWTF.
Yeah, you know, I think we've been hijacked. What the hell was that?
Eddie, are you drunk?
I think I might have hit the wrong button here. Should I try to start the show again, or?
Well.
Is it even really worth it?
I don't know, man.
By the way, this is a Gabcast, everybody.
Are we live?
Yeah, we are. It feels naked. It feels wrong without music underneath us. Hold on. Hey, everybody.
Well,
what's happening?
Welcome to the Gabcast.
Next year, you'll have to start after the Gabcast, okay?
Yeah. Welcome. I'm Eddie Dean. We've got Onan, Jasmunda, and B-Dub with us tonight. If you'd like to be a part of the show tonight, the number to call is 623-242-2278. That's 623-242-CAST.
Call or I'm coming to your house.
We will come to your house and drink all of your green beer.
Yeah, what's up with that green beer? How do they make green?
Green food coloring.
Yeah. Yeah. Which produces a dark poop the next day.
You know, I've had green poop before.
Well, that's nice.
So have I.
It's quite disconcerting, actually.
Yeah. The first time that happened, I was like, oh my God, do I need to go to see a doctor?
But do you guys celebrate St. Patrick's Day in Australia, Jasmunda?
It is celebrated. I'm not of Irish descent, so
it doesn't matter.
I don't celebrate it, but it is celebrated here.
You guys do that every day, though, don't you?
Yeah, why not?
Drink until you pass out?
Yeah.
That's really all it is.
Got to get through the day.
That's really all it is just an excuse for Americans to go out and drink green beer, drink Irish whiskey, and get falling down drunk, and then drive home.
We call that self-medicating in Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think about the same thing here in Arizona, too.
Yep.
Do they still have the Shamrock Shake from McDonald's? Because I think I'd prefer that.
Oh, just the green shake that they do on St. Patty's Day?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What flavor would that be?
Shamrock.
It's
grass.
It's red 5 and yellow number 7 and blue number 3.
Nice. Yeah,
I guess it could be that Lucky Charms taste, I guess.
Yeah. So here's the real question. Is there actually any dairy products inside a Shamrock Shake?
No, just that pink goo stuff that they put in.
I think if you go to Wendy's and you get a Frosty, that actually has no dairy products in it. It's made from like soybeans or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I can't drink dairy anyway. Soy milk is my preferred drink. When I want to drink that kind of a thing.
Are you lactose intolerant?
Yeah, I don't know if it's classified as lactose intolerant. Just sometimes it's kind of gassy when I drink milk. And it's disgusting, man. I just don't like the taste of milk anymore.
You suffer from the MV ass fountain?
Yeah, not quite that bad. Maybe like acid indigestion after I drink milk. But it doesn't happen every time, just occasionally. So I just stay away from it. Is this interesting to talk about my acid indigestion and lactose intolerance? Welcome to the Gabcast, everybody.
This way, Jazz doesn't have to tell a poop story later on.
Yeah, well, exactly. We've already mentioned poop, and it's only 5 or 8 minutes past the hour. So,
got that off our list.
Yeah, I think that's some sort of a record or something.
Well, we are sponsored by Sphinctonix.
Sphinctonix, yes, we are. You know, I saw something that B-Dub posted about the SETI computer share program.
Oh, yeah.
And
is it, Is that the SETI at home?
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. And I think that's really cool. I haven't tried that yet, but I wanted to ask you, Dub, on the air, what's your opinion on that? Is it worth it? Is it fun? Well, is it exciting? Is it...
I don't know if it's exciting. It's kind of cool to be a part of that. If you have any interest at all in that kind of research. But the concept's actually pretty amazing, because what it does, it takes this... Like when they started it back in like the late 90s, they had this massive backlog of data and they really didn't know how they were going to do it, because if you were to, say use a supercomputer or something like that to parse all this data, it would have cost millions of dollars, and that's money they don't have. And it would have been really difficult to find a computer that would have been capable of doing all that. So what they did was they just took that data and they cut it up in a million little chunks. And they sent it off to all these people out on the internet. And then with this, what it is a screensaver that when you're not using a computer, your screensaver comes on and it runs this algorithm that goes through the data and checks for alien signals. What it might be. Yeah. It's a really brilliant idea. And basically what they allowed them to do is like to process like 20 years of data in 3 years, or maybe shorter. It was, they were kind of blown away by how successful they were.
So it only works when the screensaver is on?
Yeah, correct. That's basically what it is. It's a screensaver.
Huh.
Yeah.
See,
it uses
your computer
when you're not using it. I did it for a couple of years.
Yeah, so did I. I went to bed every night hoping that I'd be the one to find the signal.
Right. And then I found out that they were actually sending out some packets that had dummy information in it just for verification for some reason, and I was crushed. But
really?
Were you butthurt?
I was butthurt.
You should use Sphinctonex for that. I think you got your free samples.
I started using it regularly, and I got to say that it's an addiction.
So were we all a member of Team Art Bell?
Yes. Well, as a matter of fact.
Hell no. I hate him, though.
There is a Coast Gab team.
Team Coast Gab?
Yeah. I think Juan is the only one who's in on it.
Well, I'm in it now.
Oh, are you? That's cool. Yeah.
It's me and Juan against the world.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of this. How do I download this software?
Just go to Team SETI, and you'll find it.
SETI at home, I found.
You got
I
it?
Thought it was really
yeah.
I thought it was really cool because I was running 3 Macs at the time, and I thought, oh man, I'm gonna be crunching data like nobody's business. And then I saw these people, and then they had like 15 computers at their home, and I was like, oh, I am so behind.
Yeah, really.
So are you able to actually look at the data that your computer crunched?
I don't remember.
Do you see like a graphical representation of the analysis, like a giant 3-dimensional bar graph?
Hmm. And is all it's is analyzing is audio signals?
Yeah, it's like data from the Arecibo telescope or something. And they have like, they've been like, they had like a different test they were running years and years ago. And so because they've been able to process all this data, they just keep refining the tests and changing them up and looking for different things.
Do you think that an alien would use that technology, use audio signals or something of similar to that to reach out to the universe? Or would I'm more inclined to think that it would be like a light signal or some sort of a fiber optic, you know, a laser kind of a signal.
Like a sequence of primary numbers?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Because doesn't light travel faster than a regular radio signal, or is it the same?
No, radio signal is the speed of light.
Is it speed of light?
Yeah, but the power that we broadcast stuff out, you know, radio waves and all that, from what I've read, by the time those signals get to the edge of our solar system, they're so weak that anyone picking it would be really remote for anyone to pick it up. So that's another dream that was really crashed by, you know, true science. So thank you, true science. But who knows? If there is somebody else out there trying to communicate, it's kind of arrogant to think that our senses would be the same ones that are on some other planet. I mean, evolution might have been different, and who knows how they communicate.
In a different world,
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's like Avatar, where they all have their ponytails that, you know, connect with each other, and I don't know.
And they're 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, each world has its own gravity, has its own atmosphere. So yeah. It is arrogant to think that if there is life out there someplace, that it's going to look humanoid. Is that arrogance or not?
What's that?
Is that arrogance or not? To think that if there's something out there, it's going to look exactly like, not exactly like us, but it's going to have two arms, two legs, and... you know, a head and eyes and ears and all that.
Well, there's a couple of different theories on that. The one, the panspermia one, would suggest that there might be other humanoids out there. But if life was kind of individualized for each planet, then it would probably be really rare to find somebody that looked like us. But I don't know. Certainly easier when you go to a movie to see aliens that look like you.
Oh, yeah.
Than some floating glass.
How are we going to have sex with a sexy alien if it's just a blob?
You'll find a way, Jazz. I'm sure you will.
Yeah. Nothing's going to stop Captain Kirk from getting his rocks off.
That's right.
That's right.
So I take it by this short discussion that we've had that you guys don't believe in extraterrestrial life? Life outside of our planet? Intelligent life?
I want to believe.
Do you believe there's intelligent life on Earth?
Well, no, that's debatable. I think maybe if we even, is there intelligent life on this podcast?
Well,
definitely not.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. WR250 says that the Vatican reptilians are the people that run Taint Co. So.
Really?
Damn, how did he find out so quickly?
Well, hey, easy. I don't want to lose our only sponsor, guys. Come on.
Sorry.
Yeah, we love Taint Co.
Yes, we do. Their products are awesome.
And they work every single time.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I'm a proud user of all Taint Co. products.
So, I mean, I definitely believe there's alien life.
Do you think that it's...
they visited?
I do.
Do you think the visitations are being covered up?
Yes.
Okay.
By whom?
The United States government.
United States government.
Yeah. I have a story.
To what ends?
To what ends? I have a story. I'll tell you a story. And this happened in the 80s, it was probably 88. I think it was pretty early in the school year. I was in high school and... one night, watching the news, the local news, and I see this story from the channel, I don't know, it was Channel 2, Channel 22, where the, you ever turn on a news broadcast and you see that the news anchor is visibly upset about something, and everything is, where everything is usually very flat and unemotional, and you one day you turn it on and they're... you can definitely tell that there's something wrong about them.
Yeah.
Well, this woman basically looked like she was in a state of disbelief, and she's doing this story about how during rush hour one day in Dayton, Ohio, this was like the day of this broadcast, a large orange fireball flew over the city during rush hour traffic. And basically what that meant was that everybody's car stopped. And so you've got thousands of people on the interstate standing around watching this thing fly over the city.
Damn rubberneckers.
Yeah. And I knew someone that was in traffic, and that's how I knew that that's basically what was happening, was that, you know, these cars stopped on the interstate as this thing flew over. This guy was in traffic, this friend of mine that I was going to school with, and I heard the story the next day. He's basically saying that, you know, this thing flew over the interstate, and people were just standing around talking to each other like, what the hell is that? And of course, the United States Air Force's story was that it was a satellite that was in a decaying orbit, and the nuclear power cell that would power the satellite was exposed, and that was causing an EMP that was disabling all the cars in the area.
Really? So it had physical effects on the cars on the freeway?
Yeah, everybody stopped. I mean, literally, it was like the interstate turned into a parking lot.
Well, I thought when you said stopped, I thought everybody was physically...
Their car stopped working.
Really?
Wow.
Like right where they were at.
And it was just a giant yellow fireball, you said?
It was a big orange fireball that flew over the city.
And was this reported on the news, or are you saying that this was covered up on the news?
It was on the local news, but it never bubbled up to national news.
Yeah.
Was there any video?
No. This is the late 80s, so...
Right, so nobody had video cameras, or very few did.
Yeah.
Well, nothing that wasn't the size of a, you know...
A bus.
Yeah.
Right. With standard size VCR tapes, or the Betamax tapes.
Yeah.
So... and you could tell the expression on this woman's face, the newscaster, she was basically like, I can't believe this story. And that explanation is definitely bullshit.
That is weird. I've never heard of that.
There were lots of stories out there like that, that, you know, I think that's one of the more annoying things about the so-called UFO researchers. They just keep hammering on Roswell and, Bentwaters and the same damn stories over and over again. And there's all kinds of stories like this out there.
Yeah, there was that guy that was on the Dark Matter show with Art Bell, I think during the first week. And he was trying to discuss the, I don't know if it was an abduction case or just a UFO case in Utah. I can't remember the name of the town.
Was that the guy that was eating a grilled cheese during his interview?
Yeah, I think so. the guy that it wasn't, he was kind of jumping all over the place and wasn't a very good interview.
I remember that. That was like was that the second night?
It was the first week. I'm not sure exactly which night it was. It might have been the second night.
Yeah, I remember being disappointed.
I had never heard of that event, that UFO event.
That's probably because it never happened.
You think a guy made it completely up?
Yeah. I don't know. My general impression from that story was that he took some very flimsy anecdotal information and extrapolated from that. Part of me wonders if, you know, there's sometimes people just like to fuck with other people, so they'll make up stories. And I feel like a lot of that stuff that, like, Art did with the Native Americans, like, in the 90s, where, like, you know, they were talking about the prophecies from their Native American people. Part of me wonders, like, if the Indians, the Native Americans were sitting there going, I wonder if these white people are so stupid they'll fucking believe this story. And then at the end of the show, they're like, I can't fucking believe no one called us out on that.
I bet that's true.
Like the Hopi prophecy and all that.
Yeah. Like it was a Native American version of... Mel's hole without the hole.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, it's easy to believe somebody telling a story about a UFO, especially, well, I guess if it's a first person, if they actually saw it. But if somebody's saying, relating a story from somebody else, you don't know, you know, how the facts got twisted or... Mm-hmm. Like the game of telephone, you tell one kid something and once it goes through, you know, 15 or 20 kids, it's a completely different phrase.
Yeah.
So unless you really do the research yourself, I think there's a lot of people that put a lot of things together that maybe not necessarily fit together. There might not be data that supports it. Listen to me sound like Richard C. Oglin. It's the data. You look at the data.
I did a little bit of reading today on UFOs, and, you know, there's something like 192 reports a day of somebody seeing something unexplainable.
And I wonder how many of those can be explained by something completely natural, like
probably
Venus
191 of them.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, literally, you're probably right.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not gonna try to make an argument that just because there's a lot of people saying something, it's got to be true. But I do think it's enough to make you scratch your head and go, "Huh? And, you know, if you go back and you look, and again, here I'm dredging up old stuff rather than looking at new stuff, but if you go back and listen to a lot of the astronauts from the 70s, maybe even in, excuse me, maybe even to the 60s, there was some weird stuff that was print, you know, that they were saying. Mm-hmm. You know, there was one that said, I don't remember who it was, but they had a bogey at 10 o'clock high.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that the one where they were in orbit and they actually captured the video of that white object going down towards Earth and then all of a sudden spinning out at a different trajectory and a different speed?
Mm-hmm. That I don't know. All I know is that, you know, it's a weird world. My critical side says, well, if there really are aliens, how come they're not presenting themselves? And I got no answer to that.
I have a theory.
What's that?
They don't want to start World War III.
Why do you think that would happen?
It doesn't take a whole lot to stir the pot here on planet Earth. I mean, really.
Humans tend to overreact just a tad bit sometimes.
We're excitable. Well,
I think Art Bell used to say that if an alien ship landed on the White House lawn and the doors opened up and a little green guy came out, that he would be full of lead within about 20 seconds of him stepping out of the vehicle.
That's possible.
I don't think that's true. I think if somebody landed in the back woods of Kentucky, you know, they'd probably be shot to pieces.
Ah, yes.
But I'm not so sure that would... First of all, well, hell, what do I know? It's still my skeptical reason for why I have a tough time believing there is any other life that's visited us, but I don't know.
I want to believe that there are UFOs or there is extraterrestrial life that has visited this planet, but the older I get and the more I understand about science and travel, the speed of light and how much space there is in the universe.
Yeah. Oh, but now you're constraining the rest of the universe to our bullshit physics that, 150 years ago, we didn't even know what bacteria were.
Yeah.
You know, we're not as smart as we like to think we are.
That's a good point.
So people are always saying that, well, that's not possible because based on what our understanding of physics, then it would take a gazillion years for them to get here. Well, maybe they figured some shit out that we don't understand, like gravity. Do we have a working theory of gravity? I'm not sure.
You'd have to ask Agent Orange that.
Agent Orange. Beep, 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 beep. Agent Orange, call in with the explanation of gravity. Post haste.
But what I was going to say is if they are limited to our view of physics, then there's no way that they could be here just because of the distance. But if you take into account, you know, they might be 150,000 years more advanced than we are, or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever the number is, they might have figured out a way to bend time and space and do the wormhole thing or be able to travel through space in a way that we don't know yet.
Then that begs the question, if someone is that much more advanced than we are, why would they want to come here anyway? I mean, it would be like us landing on a planet to talk to a worm. You know, what would be the point?
No, it wouldn't.
You don't think?
No, just for the sheer cultural experience. Like the same reason we go talk to people who tribes that we've never encountered before and document their belief systems and their language, and just because it's fascinating, if for no other reason.
Okay, I've been shut down. Go ahead.
But we don't have to travel 350 million light years to go talk to a tribe in Africa.
Yeah, and really all we're trying to do there is just, you know, take their resources. So.
Right, yeah, really. Yeah. Well, you got a point.
We're your friends.
If you've ever been to Papua, I've never been to Papua New Guinea. In fact, I probably can't pronounce it correctly.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if you were in Papua New Guinea, you would probably be feeling like you were on the far side of Jupiter or something. You're pretty remote out there.
It's called Peepaw Baguini. Okay. That's what we call it anyway.
They're actually one of our closest neighbors, so I would appreciate if you respect them a little bit more.
Sorry, man. Didn't mean to step on your scrotum there.
Is that the island with all the huge statues? Oh, no, wait. I'm thinking of Easter.
That's Easter Island.
Easter Island.
Yeah. You know, I want to believe.
In Australia.
I want to believe, and I was a huge believer in my 20s and 30s. But it's, like I said, it's more and more difficult. But it is really intriguing and interesting to think about what an advanced civilization would get, how they would get here, and the technology that they have developed, and their culture and what they want.
So are you familiar with any stories that are pretty compelling? And I guess when I ask that question, I'm kind of thinking of the Trumbull County UFOs. They actually happened here in Ohio, like Trumbull County, Ohio.
I don't know if I'm familiar with the name, but can you explain it a little bit?
Was that the one where it's a whole lot of police on their radios sort of back and forth?
And you've got the one guy who's basically saying that the ship flew over his vehicle at like a low altitude and shut the vehicle down. He saw it.
Yeah, I remember that. I know what you're talking about.
That case is probably extremely credible just because it is, police talking to each other on their walkie-talkies or however they're...
But it's like a lot of police.
Yeah.
And they were actually following the thing too.
Yeah.
From like multiple jurisdictions.
Yeah. Different departments and sheriff's departments and stuff like that, yeah.
Did they all see the same thing? Did they all describe the same ship? Because I seem to remember that there were several different descriptions of the actual ship. Or were there several different ships that they saw, or was it just
one? I think it was mostly one ship. The descriptions are pretty consistent. I'm just wondering, any of you have a story? You saw something or thought you saw something?
You're on the air. Hello? Hello? Hold on.
I can hear you.
Can you hear him? I can't. Oh, I got to push a button here. Hold on. There. Now we should hear you. Hello?
Oh, hello.
Hey, what's up? Who is this?
Well, this is EIEIO.
What's up, man? I haven't seen you around in a while.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes, you know. Well, let me see here.
Anybody ever tell you kind of have a George Norrie voice?
Oh.
A very deep, maybe a John B. Wells.
Oh, I don't know. You know, I really don't know about that. You know, actually, one of the things that I'm trying to find out is what my audio quality is over this cell phone. I only used to call out on, but, that's one thing.
It's actually pretty good. We can hear you.
It's not quite Bell quality, but...
It's good enough for this show.
It's a $20 cell phone. And I think it's over 1,500 minutes, I got to use up by next year. But, one of the things is that MV's online, I think, isn't he?
You mean MV in the chat room?
Or, yeah.
I don't know if he's in the chat room at ufoship.com.
Oh, no. I mean on the air, live.
No, this is the Gabcast. This is Eddie Dean, Jazzmunda, Owen,
and
B-Dub.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, then I misunderstood. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask, which I guess I can't do now, but...
You can still ask. We might not have an answer for you, but you can ask.
Oh, well, basically, it was in relation to a microphone that somebody transplanted, you know, brand new electronics that they put into the microphone.
It was MV.
That was Michael Van Deven. It was a MXL 990 microphone, and what he did was he bought a modification kit that included a new circuit board and better quality components. And right. I think there's also a new capsule, a bigger, probably, well, I don't know if it's
right.
bigger, a bigger capsule for the
right.
actual condenser microphone itself. But yeah,
right,
that was
right,
Michael
right,
that put
right,
that all
yeah,
together.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Well, I have a lot of experience doing that kind of stuff, and
I haven't been able to actually hear the microphone yet, but I hear that it's really terrific. It's in line with one of the $3,000 microphones, the U87s, U47?
Oh, well, I don't know about that microphone in particular. Instrumentation microphones are the ones that, measure things scientifically. But do you remember who it was that built that microphone?
That was MV. That was MV.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's all I had to, had a question.
What do you know about UFOs?
UFOs. Well, absolutely nothing, to be quite frank with you.
Do you believe in them? Do you believe there is alien life out there?
Pardon me? I something seems to be breaking up here.
Say that again,
Jess. Do you think there's... extraterrestrial life. Do you think that there's life on other planets?
Well, as far as life on other planets, I mean, your audio level or the SPL level on my telephone is really dropped. But as far as life on other planets and other solar systems per se, I mean, I'm sure there is. most likely there is. I can't prove it, but... developed
statistically,
to the level
you would be born out. I agree with you.
Well, nobody really knows that, at least at this point.
When has that stopped anybody from making a point?
Pardon me?
When has that stopped anyone on Belgab from making a point?
Oh, well, I only tried and, I don't know if I'm going to do it anymore.
Yeah. You're what?
Well, I might. I have to get my email working again and contact a few people that I've known over many, many years and, get their opinions about things. And, I don't know. There's so much I don't know, too.
That's all of us. Hey, you got anything else you want to talk about UFOs?
Nah, nothing more.
You wind
right.
it down.
All right, man. Okay. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Call again.
I haven't seen him post in quite some time.
Yep.
But I would suggest EIEIO, if you're still listening, that call up the spec sheet with... Michael Van Deven and Curtis Thornton, and he can tell you all about your microphone or that microphone modification.
Where were we?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I've got this circular circuit board picture in my head, and I can't shake it now.
I think we were talking about contact. Something about UFOs, I believe.
Contact buzz? Getting contact in contact buzz?
Yes, I believe so.
There was one thing that, a common theme that was often brought up about UFOs and aliens visiting and government cover-ups was that was the government trying to get us ready for contact, by movie, all the movies that we... so were they preparing us by, all the...
Interesting premise, I don't know.
It's possible.
B-Dub, you sort of believe that, there's been a government cover-up. Do you think we were being prepared for some type of contact in the future, or do you think that they're going to keep it to themselves?
I don't think the government is going to tell you anything about anything that doesn't do them, that doesn't serve their agenda.
Yeah.
For instance, have you heard anybody in the government tell you that, hey, sorry about all that bullshit about yellow cake uranium? I mean, they don't even tell us the truth about why we go to war. Why would they tell us the truth about aliens?
I think anything that will take power away from them, they would keep quiet.
Yeah. There are lots of reasons why they never tell you. It doesn't really serve them in any way, shape, or form. So,
and there's also the hysteria factor as well. You know, if that would actually happen, I think the religious people would be a little more hysterical. But I'm sure that the Vatican.
That's another thing that the whole Brookings report. Do you think there would be mass hysteria if it was announced on the news tomorrow that there is alien life? Do you think we would fall to pieces as a civilization?
I think a certain aspect of us would. Maybe, yeah, really? Like I said, maybe the religious.
The young earth creationists would lose their shit.
Possibly. Yeah, possibly.
But there's people losing their shit all the time about things. Yeah. So do you think we would fall down as a civilization that, you know, things would, you know, Wall Street would crash and...
No, I don't think so.
It depends.
Yeah.
Ultimately, like if you have to get up and go to work the next day and make your mortgage payment, then I don't think anything's going to change. As long as effectively, there's no massive like invasion or something like that, then things are just going to continue.
Yeah, I'm talking about a regular run of the mill contact, maybe even just long distance contact where they say, we've contacted this civilization, they're 10 years out, something like that. Do you think we would?
No. I don't think so. I guess it depends on what the type of contact is. You know, if it was similar to the movie Contact, where we got the signal and we realized that it was a blueprint for, you know, all of this, I think there would be a certain group of people that would flip the shit out. But I think the basic society would be okay.
So
I'm sure there'd be a militia group that would, we got to get all our guns in order.
Yeah. And we got to kill them aliens.
In the 50s, you think there would have been mass hysteria?
I don't know about that.
Possibly. I think these days, the same people, I go to church and I'm effectively agnostic/atheist.
That's why you're... Go ahead, sorry.
I know a lot of people who are fundamentalists and they believe that the Bible is true word for word. Those are the people that would have the most difficult time processing information like that, I think.
I would just sit back and snicker. That would be the funniest damn thing for me to see.
Yeah.
You know, all they would really need to do is the Pope needs to come out the next day and say, we believe in aliens, and make some sort of a statement that, revises the belief of the Christian church.
And I think Catholic Church has effectively said that.
Like, yeah, I remember
the church.
I think it's very easy
for them to justify it and say that, God created everything. So he created aliens as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He still created us in his image, but...
We're the special ones.
Yeah.
That's effectively what they've done. Yeah.
If anybody has a UFO story or would like to talk to us tonight, the number is 623-242-CAST. Number again is 623-242-2278.
Well, while we're waiting for someone to call in, I've got a story of my own. It was about 1995, and me and a buddy were driving our car down Route 4, which is just a little northeast of Dayton, Ohio. And just out of the corner of my eye, I see this shiny, silvery thing just zipping across the top of the trees. And I'm looking at this. It was basically just a flat silver disc, and it was just shooting along right above the tree line. And I thought to myself, I've never seen a plane that looked like that. I've never seen a plane flying at that speed, at that altitude. And effectively, I was right next to Wright Pat. We were 5 minutes from Wright Patterson Air Force Base. And I thought, that's got to be some kind of plane I don't know. And then all of a sudden, this plane or this vehicle, this flat disc, just shot straight up and was gone like that. And I was just kind of dumbfounded there, trying to think like what that could have been. And the guy driving the car was suddenly like, holy shit, did you see that? Now, I can't say with certainty what I saw. Because we, like, again, we were like right by Wright Patterson Air Force Base. It's not impossible that that wasn't some kind of an experimental unmanned drone. But this is 1995.
Yeah.
And every aircraft that I'm aware of, except for maybe a helicopter, has to go forward in order to go up because it has to generate lift. So, and this didn't go forward. It just made a right angle turn and it was going, you know, several hundred miles an hour, 400 or 500 miles an hour horizontally. And then vertically, just probably 1,000 miles an hour because it was just gone.
So it shot straight up?
It went straight up, literally.
And then disappeared into the sky, or was it?
It just went straight up and was gone. And it was so fast that it was like, you know, in Star Trek when you see the plane going, the ship going to warp and it stretches out.
Yeah.
It was a little bit like that.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah.
That was swamp gas.
Yeah. So if it was an unmanned, some kind of experimental aircraft, unmanned drone that had some kind of experimental propulsion system in it, it's pretty damn reckless for them to be testing that out near a populated area.
During the day.
Think about it. If the propulsion system malfunctioned and it crashed, a vehicle going that speed would have taken out a lot of houses, done a lot of property, and killed a lot of people.
And you know,
were you close enough?
Go ahead.
Were you close enough that you would have heard anything? I mean, that much speed, I would imagine that the sound of thrust would have been.
Yeah, if you were that close to a jet, you definitely would have heard something. There was no noise.
Hmm.
Did you ever think about the G-forces of the people inside? Something that would make that abrupt of a turn and increase in speed that fast would probably kill a human.
Yeah, it would have liquefied them, basically.
Yeah, inside,
so that's why
sure.
I say it had to be unmanned, because if there was someone on that vehicle, they would have been killed.
So how did the UFOologists explain some of these maneuvers that are purported to be UFOs? Do they say that they're in a gravity bubble? Is that what it is? I mean, when they're making changes in altitude or direction at such a fast rate, it would kill somebody inside. But is it the gravity bubble? Is that what they're saying to get around that? Or is that the theory?
I mean, like, Jazz, what's the
inertial dampeners?
Yeah, the Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Inertial dampeners. Because they're effectively manipulating gravity, right?
Yeah.
So if you can do all those things, then you can operate a machine like that and not be affected by the gravity around you. You can manipulate the gravity field or whatever. Again, we need a physicist here to really talk about this. But,
yeah, we do. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Unscreened. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Unscreened caller?
Thanks. Yeah, Unscreened caller. I don't have
Turn
a
your radio off.
Is it on?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Unscreened.
Okay, good thing. Hello. I don't have a UFO story per se, but I did see a long time ago, because my college campus had like a pretty wide vista, and I saw something going across the horizon, very low to the horizon, very, very fast. Now, I live near Kennedy Airport, so, you know, you possibly think first thing it's a plane, but it wasn't a plane. I thought maybe it was a space station, but it's, you know, or a satellite, but it really wasn't. But it was a very strange thing. It just went straight across the horizon, very low horizon, and very, very, very fast. It wasn't a meteorite. I don't know what it was. And you know, I sit outside every summer. I'm looking up at the sky, like, well, you know, well, I was, I've never seen anything. Never have seen anything.
Was there,
maybe because it was near Kennedy. Yeah.
Was there a trail on it, a smoke trail, or?
There was no smoke trail. It wasn't orange. It was a light. It wasn't a light. It was an object light. You know what I mean? Not like some kind of light in the sky. But it was an object that was going, I would say, horizontal, straight across, and low, but very far out. Very, very far out. Now, I've seen the space station because I have that whole thing, the NASA spot the space station.
Yeah.
And when you see it, it doesn't traverse the sky like that. And it really, you can hardly make it out even standing in the backyard. It's very, very tiny. This wasn't very tiny. This was something very odd, I thought.
So what
it
do you
still do? I don't know what it was. Yeah.
I was just going to ask you what you think it was, but you said you didn't know.
I thought at the time it was a satellite, but I don't think so. I don't think satellites are that well
designed. Thought it was a what?
She thought it was a satellite.
Oh, satellite. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't think so. I don't think they fly. If that was a satellite, we would see satellites all the time, and I've never seen anything like that again. I don't even know what it was.
Yeah, the thing is, when you have an experience like that, you can't really speak to certainty about what you did see. You can kind of talk about what you don't think it is. You can kind of say, well, I don't think it was a conventional aircraft for this reason, and I don't think it was a helicopter for this reason. I don't think it was but then you can't really, at the end of the day, you can't really say what it is. It's kind of an odd situation to be in.
Yeah.
I could rule out what it wasn't because I'm familiar with the sound of military aircraft. I know what they sound like. There was no sound at all. And after 9/11, you could hear F-18s up in the sky. I mean, I know what they sound like, but you could not hear an airplane. You couldn't hear anything coming from it. And now, living near Kennedy, I'm really familiar with planes. I see them all the time, way high up and low. And this was going too fast to be an aircraft like that. And too straight to be, it had to be something on course. It was too straight to be like something falling out of a trajectory. It was too straight for that. So I don't know. Maybe it was a UFO. I don't know what it was.
Hmm.
Hard to say.
And that's my story.
That's your story. You know what I want to know is you got that book that Agent Orange sent, right?
I do, and I will pass it on, yes.
For everybody listening, we gave a book away to Agent Orange, and he offered to make it a communal book, I guess, and we gave it to Unscreen Caller, and she just got it, what, a couple weeks ago?
I think last week I got it,
And he autographed it and signed it, right?
Yes, he did. Agent Orange did, and put a little ghost in there.
And you're wearing gloves whilst reading it, correct?
Yeah, because the pages were stuck together, so I have to wear my rubber gloves when I read it. And possibly a mask. Yeah.
You might need to send the gloves on to the next person.
Oh, I'll be happy to send them on. Yeah, okay.
Did it have any particular odor? Since it did come from Canada, did it smell like maybe maple syrup or any sort of Canadian strange smells?
Maple and bacon, and it was very polite, yes.
Canadian bacon, of course.
Canadian bacon, yes, of course. Now, I don't know what New York added, if I'll add to it, but I'll find something,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I think this book really needs to cross an ocean.
Yeah, but go ahead, Unscreen.
No, it's a good idea. It should cross the ocean. It should travel the world.
Yeah, exactly.
But nobody who is a part of the Gabcast can win a contest. So, Jazz, I'm sorry, we can't give the book to you.
That's true. But there are other oceans in this world.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. Thank you.
We could send it over to Yorkshire. Or Yorkshire.
Yeah. We could do that.
Is there another ocean on the other side? Is there anybody that lives in Hawaii that's a Gabcaster?
George Norrie, doesn't he? Isn't he building a studio there? We'll send it to him.
Indeed.
Oh, God. Is it, well, the studio isn't built yet, is it?
That's a good question.
The process of being built, so you really can't send it to snoring.
That's a good question.
All right, anything else on screen color?
That was it. And I will be happy to pass the book on. I'll send it to your future, if you'd like me to do that.
Yeah, we'll figure something out, but we appreciate the call.
Well, thank you. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
You too.
So who is clicking? Dub, are you doing a internet search right now? All I hear is a click, 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 click.
Yeah,
click.
So do I.
And it stopped.
I think it's Dub. Was that you?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think my microphone is dying.
Uh-oh.
It's winding down.
The lines are open right now. There were several people that tried to call in. You're on the air.
Hey, what up, ladies?
What's up, man?
Hey, guys.
Aldous Burbank, everybody.
Aldous Burbank.
Hey, I wanted to keep it kind of caller-driven here so we can get a flow. But
yeah, right.
Hey, my UFO story. All right, here we go. They're plural, and so I won't bore you, but the different... I spent a lot of time outdoors. I got lucky, and I did. And I still do. And I look up a lot. I got these bad habits like that. So I think maybe for that reason, I've tended to see a lot of weird things in the sky because I look up a lot. And I am the kind of guy that tracks satellites that are visible in the evenings and in the early mornings. So I've often watched the space shuttle, blah, 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 ISS. Me and my kids, we track these things. So anyway, the unusual things I've seen I can't verify were from somewhere else. So they kind of almost bore me. One of the things I saw was like a mainframe thing at a concert. And this time was one of the few times I was by myself initially. Saw this big thing on this hill that I knew very well, and I thought it was the mining trucks that back up the open pit during shift change. I thought they were backed up, and I could see their running lights, you know, all in a row. Then I knew the area so well, I thought, well, it's not shift change, and that's not where there's no open pit there. This is like main mine. And while I was trying to figure out what the hell I was seeing, I realized that it was really something weird, but I could see the connector tubes, like at a concert, on the light frames, and it didn't look like it was from really somewhere else. It looked like it was from here, but it had all these lights, and here's the weird thing, with these orange and then some white lights and all this junk. Now, here's what blew my mind. I pulled over. I tried to look at this thing, like stopped while I wasn't driving, because there was a dirt road that I knew very well. I knew this area from hunting a lot. I used to hunt a lot in this area. So I jammed into this road. There was nobody behind me at night. I was the only one out there. I look at the thing. As soon as I stop and look at it out of my truck, it disappears, just completely silent, and I can see the stars behind where it had been. It was really quiet. I stayed out there. It was a little spooky. I thought, well, okay, there's one of those things, whatever that is, but it seemed like totally something that somebody put together with, you know, welders and freaking... Yeah. Well, I drive home, and there's this young lady on the phone who knows me from a town 8 miles away, and my wife says, hey, Jill's on the phone. She wants to talk to you. So before I could tell my wife about kind of the weird thing I just seen, I literally just grabbed the phone, getting out of my truck, and she goes, hey, I want to tell you, we just saw something really weird. My family and I were outside. They live at the little town where there's these smelters, you know, for the copper mines. So... she said, we're out there, and between our house and the smelters comes this big old thing she starts describing. She said it was like all these lights connected on this big frame, and wow. They were kind of orange. And I was like, oh, well, and with white lights underneath, right? Like, and she's like, yeah. And she had to have seen the same. We'd figured out the time. It was about 20 minutes after I saw it, because it took me about 20 minutes to get home and from that spot. And she's 8 miles downriver, so her whole family, and she's got like six brothers and sisters, and her mom and dad were all outside. They all saw it. And when they saw it, there was a fighter jet, or I can't remember if it was one or two, but there was, I think, maybe two jets kind of tailing it. And they got a size perspective because it flew between them and the smelters, and so did the jet. So there's that thing that I'm pretty convinced. I don't know. Why would we be tailing our own craft? I don't freaking know. But it looked like something that could easily be from here, except for the fact that, like, it disappeared on me when I pulled over. But here's what I want to tell you. So I got a lot of these kind of stories of different kinds of things. That's an unusual one because I actually saw structure to it instead of lights and streaks and this junk.
Right.
But what was weird about that is what really blew my mind and almost pissed me off was, why the hell does that thing need lights, okay? What I'm saying is anything that can do that junk and look and fly around, float, be completely quiet, they don't need backup lights, man. So my personal theory is that they only have those lights to blow your fucking mind, okay?
Just to blow the hippies' mind. That's really good observation, because if they're indeed these craft that are from another planet, they're silent, they're fast, why would they have lights on to say, hey,
here I am? They don't fucking need lights.
Well, maybe the lights are there.
I'm sure they don't need lights.
Go ahead, Dub.
Maybe the lights are part of some kind of sensor device, and they're not really there to illuminate anything. They're just incidental.
Some part of the equipment of the ship itself to...
Yes, they're like mapping the Earth's core, and it just happens to emit light in the visible spectrum. I mean, we don't really know.
Or maybe they have a sense of aesthetics. Maybe they just like where it looks.
Yeah. If it's our craft, you got to wonder why they would have lights that they would use in a situation that might be public, you know?
Yeah.
I guess if it's the aliens, there's less issue with, well, we can't know how they think. But even at our level, we think that cloaking technology is all that. So why would not an advanced civilization have already figured out how to cloak beyond cloaking that we can even imagine? You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
very true.
Well, maybe they're listening to house music and dropping Molly.
Well, you know, speaking of, only a couple of times have I actually been tripping while I've seen the weird shit, okay?
Yeah, I was actually going to say, Aldous, I don't think you're the most credible witness considering your habits.
Well, I think I've only had one solo sighting, and that was the one I just described, really. All the others were with other people who were tripping, but in the 2% of the cases that I was tripping, my intuition, which is really important, I mean, I'm glad it went down for that reason. My intuition at the time, and I was pretty young, by the way, was that that there's such a variety of these potential visitors, if they are, that I know some of them have to be tweakers, man. And I got this sense, you know, that probably, you know, a lot of freaking rednecks come around here. So here we are thinking it's going to be a space brother. And it's more like a space deliverance scenario, possibly.
So like redneck UFO meth dealers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your theory?
That makes was sense. My sense that in one particular occasion, I happened to be at the Grand Canyon, and they seemed like the bad tourists, right? That I didn't really want to be in the same park as. And we were out there camping, and there was definitely some weirdage out there in the sky.
Some weirdage, yeah. I agree with that.
All right, well, you know, most of them are like that, but they're so trivial. It's like, I think I posted a little while ago on the chat, like, it's like telling somebody after you walk around the city, you come back to the apartment, you tell them what great sets of boots you saw, you know? It's like, shit. Doesn't really do it for the other guy that's listening, you know? And at the same time, if you already believe in boobs, I mean, whatever, you know? You just give them a hard time at that point, and nobody wants to hear it. That's kind of my general attitude about UFO stories.
Nice.
Or if a guy's dying to see some boobs, and you tell him about all the boobs you saw, that's even worse, right? That's not cool. So, anyway.
Because it feels like he's missing out.
Right. You don't want to do that to your bros.
Yeah, I want some reversed engineered boobs.
All right, Jazz, take it away. Let's do the reverse engineered space alien tweaker boob thing.
Yeah, tweaker boobs.
There's a joke in there somewhere about, you know, tweaking boobs, but yeah.
That's a good point, because, I mean, I saw something that I really think it was an owl or some sort of a night predator bird. But after I saw it, my brain flipped out. I mean, I had increase in adrenaline, and my mind was spinning, and I kept asking myself, was that really, did I really just see that? you know, and I was trying to convince myself that I didn't, and my brain, it was like a giant brain puzzle. But I was not scared, but I was psyched. I was kind of psyched out, you know?
Well, that, my friend, is why the owl has the shamanic mojo in most traditions.
Is that what it is?
Because they do put the spook on you a little bit. That's right.
And all this, do you know if there are giant owls that fly around the Lake Pleasant area? Lake Pleasant is north of Phoenix.
I know the area, by the way, and there is some weirdage out there, too. Hey, I don't know about the owls, but, you know, that reminds me. One Lake Pleasant thing, I have a lady friend that I trust a lot, and she 3 or 4 times went out there because her friends used to know a spot where they used to see these blue glowing orbs out there. And that's where that Castle Hot Springs is, which is another power spot that people have tried to own and do something with, but it's always seemed to be one of those power spots that basically just sits there being powerful, which is pretty awesome.
Right.
Not a lot of people go out there. That's an awesome area out there. Hey, I miss all you guys. I missed you, Eddie, on my way through, but Onan, what's up, dude? I miss you.
Your aim will get better, man.
Hey, Aldous, you recently were in Philadelphia and you met up with another bell gabber.
How
was that experience?
That was really fun. Nice guy. What's up, Ziz? You out there? It was pretty cool.
You met up with Ziznak.
Yeah, I did. And, I think I might have mentioned it, but it turns out he had that... an appointment, and I hope he won't mind me saying it, a job interview right at the building I was seeing out my hotel window, as it turned out.
Wow.
So did he meet you before or after the interview?
Right after. He actually met me at my smoking spot, which I'd already been using because it is a designated smoking spot. And I checked out of the hotel room, grabbed my bags, and went down there basically. To have the smoke as he walked out of the building to have his smoke. So it really worked out. It was like easier than I would have been there anyway, basically. It's kind of weird.
But if he would have walked by you, you wouldn't have recognized him if you hadn't known that he was going to be there. I mean, if you hadn't prearranged it.
No. But by the way, I did kind of recognize him. First of all, he described himself briefly, but I had already seen a couple of his Photoshop selfies.
Right.
And, yeah.
Was he wearing a George Norrie mask?
Duck head and stuff, but it was pretty much a guy, you know. So it was great. He's a nice, and again, I hope he doesn't mind me saying, but from what I hear, he did get that job. So hopefully, you know, it was a really good deal.
So he wasn't wearing his George Norrie mask at the time for the interview?
No, but he also wasn't completely trying to conceal his tats, so, you know. He's an out there brother.
Yeah, I noticed that in the picture. He didn't have any arms.
And you had massive hands.
He put them back on after the photo.
Okay.
We had a little meditation session just before the picture. We might have looked a little different than we normally do.
Gotcha. Wink, wink.
Right.
So when's the wedding? Ah. When's the wedding?
I think the wedding was probably in the past life.
Okay.
No, but it was a good spirit. Guy has a good spirit. I got a good feeling from it. So for the first official Gab crew
meetup.
Mashup, it was fairly successful. It wasn't like some axe murder situation, you know? It's pretty good.
So you're going to travel around the entire United States and just meet every single bell gabber one by one? Is that the plan?
Well, it depends where my family and business take me. This time it was family, you know? And mostly I'm going to be in Eddie Dean's territory, so he's the most next likely on my list, actually.
Yeah, man, you got to let me know when you're in Phoenix, and we'll meet up.
I was just there, brother man. I just got back to the People's Republic of CA, but I just was in your neighborhood. Thought of you too. Saw some awesome sunsets you have down there.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yep.
All right.
Anyway, guys, I don't want to take up more time, but it was fun chatting with you. I miss you all somehow or another.
All right, man.
All right, man.
Thanks
right
for the call, bro.
See you on the dance floor.
Later.
Laters.
Take it easy.
Cheers.
See you on the dance floor. I'm a horrible dancer, so I'm not going to do that.
I used to teach ballroom dancing.
Really?
Really?
You suave so bastard, you.
So you really do like the cock?
Well, who doesn't? No, it's when my wife and I were first getting together, she taught ballroom dancing. And it was one of the ways we could spend some time together because I worked a full-time day job and she didn't. Anyway, it turned out a hell of a lot of fun. Probably one of the funnest things I did over a year and a half worth of time.
Did you enjoy it or were you just doing it?
At first I was just doing for her. But it did become a lot of fun.
Action.
Well, yeah. I mean, like you wouldn't.
Yeah, no, I've done worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're romancing alien blobs.
Yeah, Jess. That's true.
No need to ballroom dance with those. Yeah, that ballroom dancing sounds pretty fun. I actually considered doing that at one time, but I never
did. If you walk in off the street and have to pay for it, it's expensive as hell, but...
Is it?
You know, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's like $100 an hour. And that was, 20 years ago. I don't know what it is now.
Interesting. I wanted to bring up the Bell Gab. We haven't really talked about Bell Gab recently, and I wanted to ask your guys' opinion on what you think is going on. I mean, we've noticed a slowdown, and people have actually commented on that a little bit. But you guys have any opinions on why that's happening or if it's really even happening?
I don't think it's really happening. I think we have a... attrition factor, but I think more people are coming on than are leaving. And that's always an adjustment because new personalities see things differently and the ebb and flow of politics, the ebb and flow of politics is always fun. But
that seems to be where most people are posting in the past, month, I guess.
Yeah.
Mostly in
but
politics.
Statistics say we're more people are viewing the pages now than they were last year at this time.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. If you go to the bottom of Bell Gab and you click in the stats area, you can open up a monthly rundown of different data, new topics, new posts, new members, most online, and page views. And from what I understand, the most important stat is page views. Is that correct? Or is posts? I mean, where do you get your advertisement funds from? Is it page views? Do you know that? You know about that, Dub?
I think it's page views and then how many times people click. But
there's an algorithm.
Are you talking about like your the revenue generated by the ads?
Yeah, I'm guessing that's what does the AdSense, what do they look at as far as how much they're going to pay?
You have to click on an ad and then go to the website.
Oh, basically. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. You have to click on it, and then it takes you to another website, and that's what the people are paying for.
Okay. So it doesn't have anything to do with how popular the site is or how many page views it has.
I don't know.
I think it is factored into some type of algorithm, but I think Google will keep exactly how it works close to their chest.
Right.
Well, that's more search engine ranking. The AdSense is their advertising portion of the business.
Even if someone doesn't click on it, a particular ad is displayed onto a page,
right?
For X amount of people to view it.
Yeah,
which is advertising in a sense,
right?
It's a click through rate. That's what people are paying for. Yeah.
Maybe I misspoke because I don't really know that world that well. But the numbers that I was looking at, if you compare February of this year to February of last year, I mean, we have, 8,500 new posts this year. And last year at the same time, it was almost 6,000. I mean, you see it trending up almost in every single category.
Yeah.
Smack bang in the middle of those two dates, though, was a pretty big event in the Bell Gab history, though. So
between January and February?
Well, between last year and this year.
Yeah, between, from September and...
Well, whenever. So, whatever. Yeah. So last year, obviously, we didn't, you know, there was... I don't think that at this time of year there was even speculation that he was returning. There was just the usual speculation.
Right.
But we didn't know that he was going to return. Then we had him return, so we had a whole influx of people.
Right.
And
right.
we've had a whole lot of people leave, but we've still had those people that came are still here. So it's going to be more now.
Even with that anomaly, and I hate to even call it that, but even with that, we're still at a higher rate of viewers than we were last year at this time.
I think it's because of that anomaly.
So you think it hasn't got back to base values or normal values because of the six-month period of the craziness at Bell Gap?
Yeah, I think we've got new people still, because of that, yeah.
But if I'm understanding you correctly, you would start to see a trending downwards of the number of people that are joining, and we're still having an increase. We still have more people joining.
Oh, is there still more joining? Okay.
Yeah. So, obviously, Bell Gap's not dying. No. It might be changing into something that most of us aren't familiar with. I think that's always a possibility with a forum.
Yeah. It's fluid. You don't know where it's really going to go.
Right.
It's like the wind, man.
It is. And you know, some days I get on and I think, wow, what a bunch of bright, smart, funny people.
That
and
never
other days
happens.
I'm like, it doesn't happen often. But other days it's like, Jesus, I can't stand half these rat fucks that are here. So, you know, and I'm sure they think the same about me. But I don't know. By and large, you know, I said this a long time ago, is that this is more entertaining than television. Getting on the forum and reading people's thoughts and trying to respond is a much better way to spend time, in my opinion, than watching an hour and a half of sitcoms.
It's definitely cheaper than cable.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that too.
I would agree. It's more entertaining for the most part. You know, and I think what happened is we got accustomed to all the people. And let me see if I go to the numbers here. In 2013, we had 11 million page views. In 2012, we had 5 million. So basically doubled. Because of that Art Bell bump that we got.
But, yeah, and so we had the live threads and all that. So
yeah, that's true. And, of course, the Gabcast thread, too, has been created since then.
That's slamming.
but there's that letdown. So it's about a perspective. You know, somebody that joined Bell Gab in October, say, or September, they're thinking that Bell Gab is dead because they're used to all of that. But somebody that's been around for a couple of years, they've seen the ebbs and flows and the Art Bell, when he started his new show and all the people joined Bell Gab, it was kind of an anomaly.
Yeah.
Which I wish it would have kept going, but.
If he starts another show, it'll the same thing will happen again.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then we'll be making tens of dollars.
I think at least 12 of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, if we get Art Bell back, we'll probably each make that much.
Well, I'll be able to buy a burrito.
That's right. Maybe, you know, one this month and one next.
With a beverage?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my goodness.
No, not with a beverage. Maybe a small beverage.
Water.
You know, I have this forum etiquette public service announcement. You guys want to hear that?
Yeah,
please.
Okay.
The United States Health and Human Services Department presents Posting and You. Say hello to little Billy. Recently, Billy has been noticing some changes. He's starting to have opinions. He has questions he can't answer all by himself. And he has the inexplicable urge to tell someone, "Oh my f***ing God, Steam Rock Soars the big 1111. Now, little Billy knows the healthy place to express these feelings is in the Steam forums. Whoa, slow down there, little Billy. You're not ready to start a new thread just yet. Looks like you've got some more learning to do first, you dumbass. Before you go a-clicking the new thread button, you should ask yourself several questions. First, will the thread contribute to the forum? If you have an opinion, back it up with reason. If you have a question, provide enough information so others can help you. And if you just have something to say, say it respectfully. Second, has it been posted before? One of the Steam Forum's best-kept secrets is the search button. This handy little fella will allow you to find threads of days gone by. Simply enter in some basic keywords and hit perform search. It's really that easy. And remember... Another pro tip is to check the forum stickies. The threads listed at the top of the forum next to the words read first. You don't want all the kids laughing at you because you had a question that was answered in a sticky, now do you? Ho 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 ho! No, you don't. And third, no. Am I in the right forum? Read a description of each forum and decide which one best suits your thread. Well, Billy, it looks like you're ready to start posting. And you, too.
I would agree.
Produced by Lunchtime Mama's Homemade Rotisserie Pork Rinds Incorporated.
Brilliant.
You know, we needed that. I think WR250 posted that in one of the general threads. So thanks for posting that. But we really needed that PSA a couple months ago when there was so many... threads that were created that really didn't need to be.
So much butthurt.
So much butthurt.
It probably should pop up each time you go to Belgab.
I think when you register, you should have to watch it.
Yeah.
It's a requirement. You have to watch it all the way through.
The orientation.
And not with one of those YouTube skip ads after 5 seconds deals either.
You know, I hate that they are putting advertisements, well, it's actually been there for a while, but the advertisements you have to deal with everywhere you go now. Now it's on YouTube. At least you can skip after you watch the first 3 seconds or 5 seconds, but some of them you have to sit through.
Yeah, 30 seconds
of some stupid ad.
Why do you hate America, Eddie?
I hate commercials, that's all. I'm scared of them.
Why do you hate capitalistic society so much? It's just...
I don't know.
Why do you Why do you hate the children?
I hate
everything. Hate the children?
Now, that's a very Belgab...
debate thing. Tactic, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no. Have you guys got your Sphinctonex samples yet?
I do.
Yes.
Yes. I'm addicted.
Just be sure to keep the windows open when you're using that stuff, because it does smell.
Smells like ass.
Mm-hmm.
Just how I like it.
Feels like heaven.
Yes.
Tens of dollars, my friends. Tens of dollars.
Oh, it's going to start rolling in here pretty soon.
I can't wait.
Define the word it. What's going to start rolling in here? Less butter?
Cash. Tens of dollars. Burritos.
We're going to be millionaires.
We are.
I don't know about that.
What was that thing on Simpsons where Homer won $10,000 and he says, I'm going to be a millionaire. This has been the Gabcast.
Well, it certainly has.
Thanks for listening, everybody, at ufoship.com. If you guys want to download the show, it will be available at that same website. Thanks to Unscreen Caller. Thanks to Aldous Burbank. Thanks to my esteemed hosts, Onan, B-Dub, and Jazzmunda.
I'm Eddie. Don't forget EIEO.
EIEIO, who called in. Thanks, everybody, and we will see you next week. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Happy St. Paddy's Day.
Good night, America.
Maneuver on him.